So we're both saying we're on Daf Beis Amud Beis, and if you count down from the top of the page, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 15 lines down from the top of the page. Okay? On my roof, it's right after the two dots. I'll take care of it. Omar Rava Ule Inyan Gitin Eno Kain. Okay? So what's going on here? Le Inyan Gitin Eno Kain. We've been discussing Nisuin, and now all of a sudden Rava is completely changing the topic. And we're talking about Gitin. And the words Le Inyan Gitin Eno Kain, which means as far as get is concerned, the law is not the same. That indicates some sort of contrast, in which something that we had before is being contrasted with the halacha of get. So what we want to do is we want to figure out what did we have before and what do we have now with regard to get. Says Rashi, this is four lines down from the top of the page, Ule inyan gitin eino kein, alafichach koi. Rashi says this is going back to the Lefichach. So if you turn back to Daf Beis Amud Aleph, let me just give you a Marim Makom here so you'll see where we're coming from. There was a statement of Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Shmuel. And what was that statement? It was that Lefichach, because of the principle of Besula Niseis Liyom Harvi, that a man marries a woman on the fourth day of the week, therefore Lefichach Higia Zman, I'm sorry, Cholahu, so you're counting up again from the bottom of that base Amud Aleph, for those who have it, here you have it here if you want to take a look, right? You're counting up from the bottom, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 lines up from the bottom. The first word in the line is Lichnos. You have that? Mm-hmm. And towards the end of that line, it says Lefichach. You have the word Lefichach. Chalahu o shechol seyish apirsanida eino ma'al amazonis. Which means that if at the end of this 12-month period she could not enter into the marriage, or he could not possibly marry her because he got sick, then eino ma'al amazonis. He doesn't have to pay her support. Why? Because the circumstances were beyond his control. Either because he took ill or because she took ill. But says Rashi, now we want to know about a similar case of circumstances beyond one's control with regard to get. What could it be? Brian, can I trouble you just to give a push on the door?
Okay. Does anyone make a comment in terms of what chalsa, in terms of, because if somebody's sick, what's the problem in terms of getting married? In other words,
the assumption is that Rishonim say that he doesn't want to marry a sick woman. You know, she has she has strep. You know, let's wait till she gets over the strep before we enter into the chuppah.
No.
It's an objective, an objective situation of choli, in which the assumption is that nobody would get married at that case. But again, the main point here is for our purposes today, because today we're studying Onus Begitin, is that just like in Amud Aleph, in the sugya that Beis Amud Aleph, we're not going to clamp down Achiv Mizonos onto the Baal because the circumstance that prevented him from consummating the marriage after 12 months were not due to his own negligence, but rather mitigating circumstances beyond his control, which is called Ones. So too in Gittin, we're going to assume that Ones is going to be a mitigating circumstance, and Rava in our Gemara is going to tell us a contrast that you might think that just like Ones works in order to exempt the Baal from what? From Mizonos in the case of Cholahu Achol Sahi, therefore Ones should also be a mitigating circumstance as far as Get is concerned. Nay, Rav wants to tell you a contrast that in the case of Get, ain't Tainus Ones. Okay, so Rashi explains. Rashi says alafichach koy dash meinon. We learned in this lafichach on Beis Amud Aleph shema akeves haones potroso sheikvas haones potroso min amizonos. Ikvas means the barrier, the delay that was as a result of onus, of circumstances beyond his control. Potroso min amizonos. So even though at the end of the 12 months he's chayev amizonos, here he is not chayev amizonos. And why not? Because of ikvas onus. Le'inyan gittin. The opposite is the truth in the case of gittin. Ein tainas onus mo'eles. There's no significance to the claim of onus. Oh. Now, what's the case? I mean, what does onus have to do with get? Im nosan get le'ishto almenas she'im lo avo adzman ploni yehe get. A man gives a get to his wife, and he adds a condition to the get. And what was his t'nai in the get? That, you know what, let me give myself an option of pulling out of this get. And what am I going to say to you? I'm going to say to you like this. Give me a period of time, whatever it is, a month, a year, whatever the period of time is. If I show up within that period of time, then the get is bottom. I want to give myself that option of nullifying the get through the mechanism of tanakh. So I'm going to say the following. If I come in the next month and I show up, here I've been due, then the get is bottom, the tanakh is bottom. But if I don't show up, then the get is valid. And what happened? Philoba, he didn't come. Hareze get. The get is automatically valid. V'eino yachalomar anus ha'isa. Even if he has a valid claim that he had all intentions of showing up, but the train broke down, like I was once on a train from Manchester to London on an Erev Shabbos, it was the shortest Friday in the year, and the train broke down. And guess what? They sent, after waiting an hour, they sent the second train. The second train broke down. And then Professor Rabbi Chersky was on the same train as me. And I said, Rabbi Chersky, what are we doing? It's Erev Shabbos. He says, we're getting off the train. And we got off the train and we called up our hosts, respective hosts in Manchester, and we went back to ours. Anyway, so there are circumstances of onus. The man was on his way and the bridge broke down. So he couldn't cross the bridge. That's called onus. Oh, says Rava. Ain tainus onus beget. We're not going to accept any tainus onus. We realize that it was no fault of your own. Circumstance prevented you from showing up within that period of time. It doesn't matter. The get is automatically valid. Whereas the chiyuv mizonus is not automatic and unconditional after the 12-month period of time. We have to look and see why he didn't marry her at the end of the 12 months. And if there was an onus, circumstances that prevented him from marrying her, then the 12-month period does not engender a chiyuv mizonus, and we postpone the chiyuv mizonus until the barrier is removed. But in the case of a get, if he says that this get will be chal after 12 months if I don't show up, I couldn't care less how onus he is. He maybe broke his leg. Nevertheless, the 12 months passed and the get is valid. And the assumption here, the premise, is that we have to understand why. Meaning, if onus works with regard to mizonos, then logically we should conclude by analogy that onus should work in the case of a get. And if it doesn't work in the case of a get, we have to come up to some conclusion why. Now, what I want to share with you is the following question. What is this halach of onus? Where is it coming from? There's got to be some sort of basis or source for the halach of onus. In the case of mizonos, I could simply say that that's how the Chachamim organized this takana. The way they formulated the takana was that after 12 months, you have to pay mizonos. If you were dilly-dallying and you were postponing the marriage. But if you weren't dilly-dallying, it was for no fault of your own, then the Chachamim say, you're not chayv mizonos. I don't have to ask the question, well, where did the Chachamim come off saying onus? But the Gemara assumes that onus should certainly work by get, until Rava comes along to say that it does not, but logically it should.
What is the word onus?
Onus means circumstances beyond your control. Okay? The classical case of onus would be choli. You know, he couldn't come because he was sick. What would be a more extreme case of onus?
Yeah, but this idea of a tsunami,
right? that would be an onus. You know, the bridge collapsed.
And
you
that's
know.
In God's hands, you know what I mean?
That's called an onus. That's exactly what onus means. Onus means that it's in God's hands. God prevented me from coming. And yet, nevertheless, the get is chal. Here I made it tonight. If I don't come, I really wanted to come. I'm yelling and screaming, here I am. Ich bin du. But no, Hashem changed nature in such a way that I can't come. Right?
Just too bad.
Too bad. You didn't come. And that's the tenai. The tenai was fulfilled. This is what I call a literalist interpretation of the document. It's like, I don't know if you know a little bit of history of the American law, the American Constitution. There was a justice of the peace called Black. That was his name. Amongst many things that he's famous for, he was the Chief Justice of the United States back a century ago. He was famous for his literal interpretation of search and seizure, of what's called the right, the Fifth Amendment. So he paskins, again, this is wild, absolutely crazy, that if you get up in a movie theater and you scream fire and people get trampled to death, Rahman al-Islam, we cannot prosecute against you because the Constitution guarantees you freedom of speech. Right? Meshugana, what are you, crazy? Freedom of speech is within a certain context. You know, not that you could use your mouth to cause the death of people.
You Israel, yeah.
No, I'm talking about America. So in America, there's something called the American Constitution. Not every country has a constitution. And Britain, I don't think, has a constitution,
no.
Do they? No. So in America, they have a constitution, which is a great thing, but it's also a horrible thing. Because once you have a constitution, you're meshuvah to interpret the words. And sometimes you come to crazy, absurd conclusions. But here we're going to take a literalist interpretation, says Rava, of the condition that he added to his get. He wrote in the get that this get is valid unless I show up within the 12 months. Did he show up or did he not show up? He did not show up. Why didn't he show up? Because there was a tsunami. It doesn't make any bit of a difference. I'm not interested, said Rava. He didn't show up. But again, before Rava's radical revolution, which we'll have to see what basis it is, logically, I would have said that to the same extent that onus is a mitigating circumstance to delay his chiyuv mizonos, in the case where he couldn't marry this woman after 12 months, so too onus should be a mitigating circumstance in the case where a guy says, imlo basi, if I don't come, and the reason he didn't come is because he was prevented through forces of nature that he had no control of. So what is the basis of this concept of onus? So for those of you who are fortunate enough to have a Gemara in front of you, take a look on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. For those of you who are not, well, I promise you that Bli Neder will photocopy this Daf of Gemara. Rashi says, on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, on the fourth line from the top, Matsinu Tainas Ones Minatora. There is a scriptural basis for the significance and the validity of a claim of onus. A person is allowed to claim onus. Shenemar, a pasuk in Kitetze, Vilanaro Losasedo. A married woman was raped, and the Torah says she's completely exempt from any punishment whatsoever because she was onus. This is the most extreme case of onus, of a person who was completely subjugated, or whatever the word is, to such a terrible thing, and there was no fault of her own whatsoever. That's called onus. Rashi sees in the parsha of Naira HaShenensa a basis or a precedent for the concept of onus. So here there's a shtickel Torah that I wanted to share with you from Reb Chaim Brisker. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik said the following. The question that Rashi is facing is the following one. What happens if an action happens, but I was onus? And there are two ways of interpreting the halachic ruling in such a case. One way is to say, okay, you did the action, but we're not going to punish you for the action. Because there's no element of responsibility or negligence on your part. The other way is to say, no, this action is not your action at all. You are completely cut off from any relationship to the action. Says Reb Chaim, Rashi understood a chiddush. This is Rashi's chiddush in the pasuk of Lanaro Lo Sasedom. You and I would have taken a more limited interpretation. Lanaro Lo Sasedom means she can't be punished. says Reb Chaim Naim, she's not even considered the Bala Maisa. It's as if she didn't do the action at all. That's how Rashi interpreted it. And therefore, when it comes to get, you want to tell me that this get should be valid because I didn't come. The Baal says, I am giving you this get on condition that I don't come. Well, did he not come? The answer is, he didn't not come. Why? Because not coming, when it's done through an onus, is not considered not coming. Do you hear this, Reb Chaim? Only Reb Chaim could say such a thing. You have to be so abstract in your thinking. In other words, the kiyum atnai that makes this get valid is not coming. Okay? Not coming, meaning, let's put it again, I don't want to make it balabatish, but let's say it this way. You made a decision not to come, so you didn't come. It's not that you didn't come. You didn't come. Do you see the difference? One is you didn't come, you know, you just couldn't come. The other is you didn't come, you know, you didn't come. So Reb Chaim says in order to make this get into a get, we have to say you didn't come. That's a fulfillment of the Tanai. We need the fulfillment of the Tanai in order to make the get valid. That's the nature of a Tanai. A Tanai needs a Kiyum Tanai in order to be Mekayim the get. Says Reb Chaim, this is not called a Kiyum Tanai. Why? Because onus is not considered a maisa. Onus is not considered something that I did. In order to be Mekayim the Tanai, I have to do a non-coming, an e-bia. There's no e-bia here because it was done by onus.
That I could hear if there was an action. Meaning like he wasn't, like if you were to flip it around and say someone forced him to come,
right?
So yeah, I would say okay, but that doesn't mean he came because he didn't do it under his own will.
So Reb Chaim says that the only way of making sense out of this Rashi is to assume that not coming is considered like a maisa. In other words, somehow you have to relate to him that not coming. And he cannot say that he was...
So does that mean he's coming?
No. But again, Reb Chaim's point is that the Tanai is so essential to the Chalos HaGerishin that unless you could say he was Mekayim the Get, Mekayim the Tanai, the Get is not valid. Now, you and I might have said the following. Unless you violate the Tanai, that's called Bittul HaTanai, then the get will automatically be chal, says Reb Chaim Naim. That's not how it works. You have to be Mekayim the Tanai in order for the get to be chal. And the Kiyum HaTanai, says Reb Chaim, is e-bia, not coming. But not coming, ba'onis, is not called not coming. This is all Rashi.
How about the opposite? The opposite being that I don't want to come, I want her to have the get. And her father meets me and when the gun makes me come.
So what was the Tanai? The Tanai was, like Aaron said before, Al Menashe Bussi.
You know, it's Menashe Bussi.
Bussi.
And Bussi. But I didn't want a Bussi.
So it's not a get. Because Reb Chaim is saying, if I came Ba'onis, that's not called coming. That's the simple case that you said before, Aaron. Yeah.
It's a volition. Whether or not it's commission or mission of an act, then the essential element is volition, right?
Okay, let's put it that way, if you'd like. But now, I think if you add the idea of volition, you're coming close to the second sheet in Rishonim, that's the Ran sheet. The Ran says that, you know what this concept of onus is all about here in Gittin? It's about umdana b'dayto shel adam. The Ran says that we have to kind of, in Yiddish we call it shots up, we have to evaluate what's going on in his mind. What's going on in his mind is that he wants to allow himself the possibility of invalidating the get. Again, I don't want to get off on a tangent, but we'll have a sugya later on in Ksubis about Holchim Yotzim L'Molchemes Beis David. That, you know, let's say, again, I'm afraid to mention this because you're going to start asking me questions and we'll get so derailed. So I'm only going to mention this almanas, this is my own Tanai, that you don't ask me any questions on it. Because otherwise, you know, we meet once a week for an hour and then I'm in trouble. But let's say a person goes out to war, right? So sometimes he would give a get to his wife when he really hasn't made the decision full-heartedly that he wants to divorce her, but he's afraid that maybe he won't come back from the war and she shouldn't be stuck without him. So in any event, there are many cases, different scenarios in which a person gives a get, but he still wants to leave himself the possibility of invalidating the get and coming back. Now, if he's a Kohen, he's got to really go overboard to allow himself the possibility of a bitul, of an ikiyum atnai, because otherwise he'll never be able to remarry this woman. So he's in bad straits over here. For whatever reason, he's right now pressured to allow her to have a get and hold on to the get, but he doesn't want the get to be valid. So he allows himself that 12-month period to come back. And what happens? He wants to come back. In such a case, does he want to get to Michal or does he not want to get to Michal? Again, the guy is yelling and screaming, I'm on my way, but the bridge broke and I can't cross the bridge. It's a tragic, you know, dramatic situation. Would you say in the Umdun of Das that he wants to get to Michal? Obviously not. He doesn't want to get. He only wanted to get to Michal if he didn't come, which means he made a decision not to come. And that's where Evan's pointing to volition. Volition plays an important role. Okay. Now I want to ask a different question, Aaron, then the floor will be yours. What does this have to do with Mizonos? The case of Mizonos is a Takonas Chachamim. And the Chachamim were misaken that under certain circumstances he will be chayv mizonos, under other circumstances he won't be chayv mizonos when the 12-month period comes to its end. It's very strange that we're dealing with an abstract concept called onus, and we want to assume that just like onus applies in the case of mizonos, it should therefore apply here in the case of get. In the case of get, we're trying to figure out if there was a kiyum atnai or there wasn't a kiyum atnai. He said he lo basi. Well, was there a lo basi? Was there not a lo basi? And that depends on either you know, the definition in abstract of onus, the way Reb Chaim understood Rashi, or on the umdana and his das. But when it comes to a takonis chachamim, like the case of zonos, and you ask yourself the question, well, what did the chachamim say, and under what circumstances they clamped down a kiyum zonos or not? That's a horse of a different color. It's an entirely different question. So the only thing I could think of is the following. If you take a look at the Gemara of Rava says the following. Ule inyan gitin eino ken alma kasova Rava ein ones begitin. There's a long Rechus here, you know, the Gemara is sort of atypically long-winded here, and the Gemara speaks about Le'inyan Gitin Eino Ken. It sounds like Rava is comparing Get to Mizonos, and what that means, at least according to Reb Chaim, I think, again, I'm just trying to fill in the missing blanks, that what Reb Chaim might say here is that the question of the Chachamim in the case of Mizonos is identical to the question of Ones and the status of Ones as a general principle in Halacha, in all contexts. Meaning, what the Chachamim are going to do is the following. They're going to say like this. If you don't marry this woman, you're going to pay Mizonos, because the 12-month period that we allow you has passed. But what's considered, I didn't marry her? If, let's say, I wanted to marry her, but I was anus, is that considered that I didn't marry her? In other words, what we're doing here is the equation between onus and mizonos and onus and get is on the level of a tnai. In mizonos, the Chazal said that you will pay mizonos in the following condition. The tnai has to be fulfilled. And what is that tnai? That you didn't marry her. What do you mean I didn't marry her? I wanted to marry her. I tried to marry her. I would marry her, but I can't get out of bed. I'm hospital bedridden. You know, I got my two legs up in a cast. You know, I can't go. There's no way possible. I can't make it to the chuppah. So the Gemara is saying that what Rava was saying, Ule inyan gitin, ain't okay. Even though Ones, as we saw in the Sugya Mizonos, means that he has not fulfilled the condition of I didn't marry her. Again, it's a negative condition, right? Lo nasasi as a isha. That's not called lo nasasi because he was chole or chalsa, etc. He was ones. So too, in the case of lo basi, you would have concluded that al pidin, it's not called lo basi. Comes on Rav and he says ain't okay. It's not so. What does that mean, ein okein? It's not so. Alma kasovar rava ein onus begitin. Rashi says, ein tainus onus begitin, ulekame mefarish taima. Meaning that we have a question. If you're telling me that logically the analogy is valid, why is it that with regard to mizonos there is a tainus onus, and he doesn't have to pay mizonos because he was onus, and it's not called not marrying her, but when it comes to get, we're going to say, lo bossy, he didn't come, period. The get, therefore, is chal. The kiyum atanai exists even though he was onus. He got sick. Ulekame mefarish taima. At this point, we don't know the reason for it.
In my mind, there's also another parallel case that fits the criteria, and also there, the onus doesn't count as an onus. In the case that someone rapes the wife of a Kohen, she, according to this, she was an onus, so nothing actually happened from her perspective.
Well, maybe if I said it, I went too far. I don't mean that Reb Chaim is saying nothing happened. There is what's called Tumah, but Reb Chaim is saying that she's not considered the Balas HaMaisa. Now, the Torah has to determine, in the case of a Kohen, what is the Oser? Is the Oser the fact that she was the Balas HaMaisa? Or is the osa the tumah itself? And that's what the Torah determined in the divine wisdom, that if there's tumah, then the Kohen can't resume the marriage. Alright. Interesting. At this point, the Gemara is not asking my time of the Rava. Why does Rava logically break up this analogy? But rather, where's the source for Rava? Where did he derive? From whence did he derive his conclusion? Says the Gemara, "E lema meha." Now the Gemara quotes a Mishnah. In Masech Gittin, this Mishnah is on Daf Ayin Vav Hamid Beis, and Bli Neder, maybe we'll get to Gemara Gittin and see it inside. This Nan, we have a Mishnah in Gittin. A man gives a get to his wife, and he says the following, HaReze Gitech, Im Lo Bosi Mikan V'ad Shnei Masar Chodesh. It's exactly our case. He makes a condition, and he says, you know what? If I don't come, then the get is chal. That's the kiyum atanai. Now, what happened within the 12 months? If he got sick, and that's why he couldn't come, that's exactly Rava's question. But that's not what it says in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, umeis b'toch shneimasar chodesh eino get. He died. Now, obviously, if he died, he couldn't come. And that's an onus case. But if the Mishnah wants to tell me that yesh tainus onus, that the reason why this get is invalid is because his ebio was bonus, then the Mishnah should have told me a bigger fiddish. Forget about the case where he died. Let's say a case where he got sick, that's also valid, and therefore yesh tainus onus. So Gemara says no. The way to read this Mishnah is, says Rava, meis hu dieno get hachole hare ze get. That ein tainus onus begit means that if he didn't come within the 12th period of time because he was sick, the get is a get. Only in one specific case where he was prevented from coming is the get invalid. That's the case of mess. Why is mess different? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says the following. Ein o get, says Rashi. What difference does it make, yes, Rashi? What do you mean, ain't no get? Who cares whether it's a get or not? I mean, he died anyway. So the Mishnah says at the beginning of Kedushin, Bekonis Atzu Shei Drach, we get him a Misabal. So okay, so it wasn't get, it was Misabal. So Rashi answers, I would have answered Lugad Nachkimi Lugabi Koi, but Rashi answers him, Ein lo bonim skuka liyavam. If they have no children after he died, she has to marry, she falls for Yibum to his brother.
If the get was good.
But if the get is good, she's a grusha and there's no din of nefila for you. Oh. Mes hu di eno get. Why? Says Rashi dehalo shavya gita ad yud beis chodesh. Again, if this was your Gemara, I would tell you to underline those words. Rashi says something very, very important. Rashi asks himself the question, there are two types of tnoim, of conditions in any transaction. One is called lemafreya, and one is called mikano lahab, meaning, if I set up a 12-month period, what happens? Is it that the end of the 12-month period, the transaction is valid retroactively from the beginning of the 12 months, or no, from the time that the tanai was mekuyim at the end of the 12 months, then, and that's where you kick off the halos, the transaction. So Rashi says the haloshavya gita ad yud beis chodesh. His intention was that the get would only be valid at the end of the 12 months. Vehu mes betoch hazman. Before the get got a chance to be chal and she would become a grusha, she already became an almana, let's say 6 months down the way. And then Rashi says something amazing. Uman ko megarish lo mehashto, ein hamesin megarish. I don't understand this Rashi. Rashi says that who's going to be megarish at the end of 12 months? He's a dead man. And if he's a dead man, he can't be Magarish. I don't know why Rashi needs that whole thing. Forget about that. Rashi's doing somersaults in the air. Rashi should have said straightforward and simple, since he died, she's a Grusha. There's no issues. And if there's no issues, Yotzim Rishusa, and therefore he's no longer married to her after death. And as Mamela the get can't be Chal. Okay, well, you get to get lachamisa, but just imagine to yourself the following question. The man dies before the get can be chal. Why? Why isn't the get chal? The answer is because she's already an almana, meaning that the issues is... That's right, the issues is gone. It terminates with his death. You know, a woman is not married after her husband dies. Let's say, for example, a man and a woman were married for 50 years, and then he drops dead, unfortunately. And I don't know who usually goes first, but let's okay, fine. So he died. And now somebody has relations with this woman. So obviously he's not chayav for such a thing, because with the death of the Baal, she's no longer married to the Baal. You know, there's no such thing as marriage after death. We don't have such a thing.
There was a case in England where a person was sending a gift.
Yeah.
It was a chief rabbi of a religion community. And he died while he was coming on the boat from Brussels to England.
So if you'd ask me whether the get is valid, and I said for sure it's not valid, because get has to be chal on issues, to break up issues. There's no issues here if he already died. But Rashi gives a whole other answer. Rashi says, "Man ko megarish la." Who's around to give the get? Ain't a mason megarish. A dead person can't be megarish's wife. But I don't know why Rashi has to get so sophisticated.
It's because
I need a one word answer. It's got.
I have a story.
No stories. Again, I want to hear your story, Aaron. But first, give me the answer I'm looking for. What is Rashi worried about here? Why would the get possibly be chal after he's dead?
He's not going to come at the end of 12 months.
Because of Zika. What's Zika, Rabbi Osai? Zion, Yud, Kuf, Hey. Does anybody know what Zika is? That's right. If you learn Masechta Yevamos, the most important fundamental concept in Yevamos is called Zika. What Zika means is that even after a man dies, a married man, his wife is still married. That sounds pretty strange. How could she still be married if her husband's dead?
She's a widow.
She's a widow. So who's she married to? The answer is there's something called Zika. Zika means, so this is a Bach. In Masechta Yevamos, the Bach says that even after a man dies, his issue somehow continues and takes on the form of Zika.
If he doesn't have children.
Yeah, if he dies without children. Now keep in mind, our case is a case where he died without children. How do I know this case is that he died without children? Because Rashi says the whole purpose of this get is to remove Yevam. So obviously he died without children, and he has a brother. You have to have that condition too. So all the conditions for Yevam were met. And therefore the Ishus is not paka. The Ishus is not completely evaporated with the death of the husband, because that Ishus still exists, albeit in a different form, in the form of Zika. In fact, according to the Shita of Rav, I think Shmuel disagrees, if a man has a relationship with this woman before she gets... before she has chalitza, then the Vlad is a mamzer. Wow. And I mean, mamish, it's Zika is like an Isha's kind of relationship. the man is still somewhat alive, so to speak. And his spirit exists in the form of Zika. Until he gives a get. Now, Rashi says, well, let the get be chal 6 months down the line when the 12-month period ended because he didn't come. The answer is, Rashi says, ain't a mesa magash. You cannot relate a get to a mess. A person has to be alive to give a get. That's what Rashi says. But again, Rashi's not saying that she's already out of his rishus and there's no ishus left. That Rashi doesn't say, because Rashi's talking about a case of zikas yivum.
If he gave the get when he was alive, it's not chal until 12 months later.
He
didn't show up.
So Rashi's saying that the principle of ena mesim agashim applies even in that case. Why? Because since the get is not chal mafreya, it's only chal at the end of the 12 months, the gerushin process has to relate to a baal. And ein ha-meisim agarshin, once he's dead, he can't be related to the process of gerushin to effectuate the chalos gerushin. This touches, by the way, on the issue of kurdaikus. If you're familiar, there's a Mishnah in Gittin called kurdaikus. What happens if a man sends a shliach with a get, and then the man becomes a shote, also kurdaikus? Whether or not the shliach could give the get, even though now the baal himself is not royal legarish, right? So this machlokas Rishonim had to learn that.
Who becomes the shote, the shliach?
No, the shliach became a shote. There's nothing to talk about. You have to replace the shliach. But we're talking that the baal became a shote, and the baal can't be a megarish. But he already sent it. So right. As far as the baal is concerned, now the shliach takes over. Let him deliver the get.
There was
already das gerishin at the time that he gave over the get to the shliach. So now he's never loco moco. He's out of out to lunch. But who cares? Right. The shliach could deliver the get. Right. And here also, the baal died in the middle of the 12-month period. So who cares? Let the get be chal at the end of the 12 months, and the meaning and significance of that get will be to break up Zika. So Rashi says it's not a problem that she's a free agent because she's an almona, her husband died. No. The get could be chal on the Zika's yivam, but Eina Mason Magash. Rashi has a brand new principle called Eina Mason Magash. But again, coming back to our Mishnah in Gittin, the Mishnah that's quoted here in Ksubas, the Mishnah is telling us that if he died within the 12 months, the get is not a get. And why isn't it a get? Because Eina Mason Magash. Implying, let's say he couldn't come during that 12 month period for a different reason. Through some onus, like sickness or whatever it might be, then the get would be get. The whole problem is because Eina Mason Magash. That the gerushin can't relate to a mess. But if he's alive, just that he's not well enough to come, then apparently the get would be chal. I, the guy's yelling and screaming, I want to come, I want to come. I don't want this kiyumah tanai. I'm onus. No, ain't onus begit. So that's what Rav approves from this Mishnah in Git. But now the Gemara plays what we call the devil's advocate. And the Gemara says, V'dilma, you know what? Li'olam emelecha cholanami einu get. The Mishnah would really maintain that even if he gets sick, and that's why he didn't show up, that's not a get. He was never Mekayim the Tanai because Yesh Onus Begitu. Why didn't the Mishnah mention the case of Chola? He Gufa Kamash. When this is Gufa Chiddush of the Mishnah, the Ein Get Li Achar Misa. That a get cannot be Chal after his death. And once again, the question that we have to ask, as we asked it before, I'm just reiterating, what was the Havamina that Yesh Get Lachar Misa? She's already an almana, his ishus is completely paka, and the answer is going to be that even in the case of Yavam, where he died childless and he left a brother, and therefore the zikas yibum, we might think that let the get be chal, and now she becomes a grusha to undermine the zika. Nay, the get is not chali achar misa because ein ha-mesim agarshim. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi says mes hu dieno get. That's the second mes hu dieno get. There are two Rashis that start with the words mes hu dieno get. We're in the second one. Mishum dien get lach hamisa. Al mishum ones achrina lo mifka gita. There's nothing to be mafkia the get. There's a kiyumah tanai. Alma ain't ones begita. The isal kedaka michola is chola nami eno get. If the Mishnah would hold that yesh tainus ones beget. Is nisne chola? Let it say the case of chol v'kolshkein mes. The aim of chol Ein onus gadol mizeh. I mean, the greatest onus is when a person is dead, and certainly then he can't come. So the Gemara says, "Nein, you don't have any proof from this Mishnah. Why? Really, I can tell you that the get would not be valid even if he got sick, because yesh onus begitit. And his fulfillment of the Tanai was bonus, and that's not called the fulfillment of the Tanai. Why didn't the Mishnah mention Chola? The Mishnah wanted to tell you to unveil this Chiddush of a principle in Halacha of Ein Get Li'achar Mis. So I want to just think out loud with you for a second. Ein Get Li'achar Mis. Now, when Rashi says "Eina Mesim Garshim," which is the underlying reason for "Ein Get Lachar Misa," what does he mean? I'm going to offer two possibilities. Possibility number one is that Gerushin requires a Misa Gerushin, and a mess is a person who's dead is not capable of a Misa Gerushin. For that matter, a person who's dead is not capable of any Misa in Halach. He can't give gifts. He can't make any transactions. He can't marry a woman. He can't divorce a woman. Nothing. Or Rashi means something else. It's not a chisaron. It's not a lacking of the maisa gerushin, but rather it's a chisaron in the chalos gerushin. The gerushin can't be chal with relationship to a dead person. So what's the nafkamina? Let's say a man would appoint a shliach to deliver a get to his wife. And before the get was delivered by the shlich, he died. Now, if the chisaron of Ein Get Lachar Misa is the Maisa Gerushin, then the shlich could be Megarish and implement the Maisa Gerushin on behalf of the Mishaleach. If, on the other hand, Rashi's saying Ein Maisa Megarishin, not the Pu'ulas HaGerishin, but rather the Gerishin can't be Chal vis-a-vis in relation to a dead person, then here that the Shliach wants to deliver the get, but the Gerishin will be Chal on behalf of the Mishalech, he's already dead, is Ein Maisa Megarishin. So if you take a look in Masech Gittin, which I don't have right here in front of me, the case of Ein Get Lachar Misa is this case where he appointed a shliach. He appointed a shliach. The shliach wants to deliver the get, but before he gets a chance to do so, the mishaleach died. And the din is that the shliach he doesn't have a possibility of delivering the get because Ein Get Liachar Misa. So basically what we're saying in Ein Get Liachar Misa is that even in a case where there is a zikas yibum, and the get could be chal to break up that zikas yibum, the get can only be chal at a moment when there is a baal. Because there's no relation between gerushin and a dead man. But what would be if he had said, l'mafreya, imlo basi, hareza gitoch me'achshov? If he added the word me'achshav, let the get be chal at the beginning of the year, if 12 months go by and I don't come, then we could circumvent the problem of Ein Get Lachar Misa. Because what are we saying? Ein Get Lachar Misa means that the chalos gerishin can't be chal with relation to the dead man. But here the chalos gerishin l'mafrei is chal at the beginning of the 12 month period. Then he was alive and well. So the get could be chal. And in this case, he would not fall for yivam because of the get. So what we have to emphasize here is we saw in the Rashi, that's why I told you on the line, that Lo Shav Yegita Ad Li'achar Yud Beis Chodesh, that he indicated clearly that the get shouldn't be chal until the end of the 12-month period. He's basically allowing himself a little bit of time to decide whether he wants to go through with this get. Oh. So now the Gemara says the following. Ein Get Li'achar Misa Hatani Le'Resha. We were studying the Seifa of that Brisa. Let's go back to the Resha. The Resha of the Brisa says the following. Hareza gitech im mati. This should be your get if I die. Hareza gitech mecholi zeh. This get should be yours if I don't get up from this sickness, meaning if I'll die. Or if he says explicitly, Hareza gitech liachar misa. In all these three cases, lo amar klum. Why? Because Ein Get Liachar Misa. So the Gemara is saying now that ain't get lach misa, we already know. And if we already know it from the Reisha, why did the Sefer feel compelled to repeat ain get lach misa? It must be that the Sefer is coming to teach me another halacha, namely ain tainus onus begin like Rava, that even though the reason why he didn't show up is because of circumstances beyond his control that prevented him from coming, nevertheless the get is still valid. Why is the get invalid? Only because he died. And if he died, is ain get lach misa. Had he been chole, then the get would be chal. So the Gemara says, no, I need two Mishnayos, or a Reish and a Sefer of a Mishnah, to teach me ain get lach misa. The Mishnah has to repeat itself. Why? Dilma lafuki mita rabosenu. Okay. Now the word rabosenu, as we'll soon see in the Gemara, is a historical description of this Bezdin that's made up of rabosenu. This was the famous Bezdin, I believe it's at the end of the Masechet Avodah Zarah, that was matir shemen shel nochri. You know, the Mishnah says you're not allowed to eat cheese from a guy, and you're not allowed to take wine from a guy, etc., etc. Bishul from a guy is also. And then the Mishnah wanted to go a step further and prohibit shemen from a guy. You can't buy oil from a guy. So Lamaisa, the Mishnah says that Rabosenu hitiruha, they were matir shemen of a guy. Okay, that's just to identify who these Rabosenu are. And we learned in a braisa, Rabosenu hitirua linase, that this same group of rabbis allowed her to get married. What was the case? The case was a man said, Imlo basi ad yud beis chodesh, and then he died before the end of the yud beis chodesh. So the Mishnah says that ain't get lach misa, because it's not chalam afreya, it's only chal at the end of the 12 months, and he was dead before the end of the 12 months. So this get never came to fruition. Okay, that's ain get lach misa, but there might be cases where we would validate the get, and we need a second chiddush in the Mishnah to invalidate the get. What would be a case where we can validate the get? So that's called zmano shel get mochiach alav. Which means the following, technically, again, this on a d'oraisa level, a get does not have to have a date on it. It's like, for example, let's say I borrow money from you and you give me an IOU note, that's called ksav yodo. You don't have to write the date. That IOU note is valid, that's a shtar, even without a date. But what happens if a man gives a get to his wife? He didn't have to write the date or tell the sofa to write the get, the zman in the get, but they wrote the zman in the get. Oh. Comes along the Rabosenu, and they say the following, it wasn't Dvarm Shel Mabakach, it wasn't just the meaningless that he decided to write the date in the get, there was a deliberate reason why he wrote the date in the get. And that is so that the get would be Chal Mafreya. Again, he didn't use the magic words me'achshav, but nevertheless he did something which indicates me'achshav, even though he didn't write me'achshav. And that is, he wrote the zman in the get, meaning that the get should be valid from this zman. So in other words, at the beginning of the 12 months, he wrote the date, he wrote January 1st. That, according to Rabosenu, means zmano shel get mochiach alav. There's a proof from the very fact that he included the date in the get that he meant that the get should be chal from the date that's recorded in the get, meaning lamafreya, and therefore who cares if he died before the end of the 12 months? The get should be valid. That's why the Mishnah felt compelled to establish the principle of ain get lach misa not once, but twice. Once in the case where there was no zman in the get, and another time where there was a zman in the get. When he wrote the zman in the get, now you can really deliberate as to whether or not the get could be chal even if he dies before the end of the 12 months. Why? Because you might say that, like the Rabosenu, that if the man added the date in the get, he did it for a deliberate reason, in order that what? That the get should be chal, my friend. That was his way of substituting for the word me'achshav. And if the get is chal mafreya, then we don't care if he died before the end of the 12 months, because it's chal from the first day.
The day is there to show when the 12 months are to start or to end.
For that, he only needs Eidi Mesira, because we paskin Eidi Mesira, Karsin. So the Eidi Mesira will testify when the 12 months begin. But the shtar itself is called a shtar raya. And a shtar raya means that she should be able to prove the day. Here's the deal. Let's say two Eidim come and testify that she had another relationship. So the only way she could protect herself and exonerate herself from a death penalty is by producing a get. The problem is, there's no zman in the get. But if there's a zman in the get, then she could prove that from the zman in the get, that's when the gerushin was chal. And if the Eidim are testifying on a subsequent date when she had this relationship, this escapade, then she's off the hook, because she already was a grusha before the time that she had this relationship.
Isn't dying a case of not coming?
So the Gemara says the following. If you wanted to tell me that Yesh Onus Begitin, that the reason why the get is invalid is because he couldn't come, and it would apply even in the case of a sick person, why did you have to tell me the case of a dead person? Why not tell me the case of a sick person? The answer is, you want to tell me something specific about the case where he died. And what do you want to tell me? That if he died, then the get is invalid, but if he was ill, the get is valid, because ain tainus onus. Why is the get invalid if he died? Because of the super principle of ain get lachar misa. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, maybe we already, but how can you tell me the Mishnah wants to tell me ain get lachar misa? We already know that from the ratio of the Mishnah. The answer is, the Mishnah had to double up here and repeat this chiddush of ain get lachar misa. One ain get lachar misa is for a case where there was no zman in the get, and now a specific additional chiddush of ein get lachar misa in the case we wrote the zman in the get. And that's a gevaldig chiddush, because we would have paskin like the Rabbi Seinu, who say zmano shall get mochiach alav, the zman was added to indicate that he wants the get to be chal of afreya. No, it's not so. We do not accept that. Now, what would be the reason why the zman is written in the get? So Rashi says lafuki min Rabbi Seinu itzrich. The pliga alav yamri the ain get lachar misa hu. You should read this. The ain ze get lachar misa. It's very very confusing, this Rashi, unless you had the word ze. I think I have a little hay over here. I believe that this hay is the word ze. Let me just double check that. I don't know. I don't find the hay now. But anyway, so you read it, ain ze get lachar misa. Why is this not a case of get lachar misa? The cave on the kasuv beget zman ksivoso. Since he went to the tircha of writing the zman in the get, hu mochiach, that's a that demonstrates, shekach omala, this is what he said to her. Imlo basi lioso zman, if I don't come in the next 12 months, yehe get lavafrea, mehayom, the get should be chal retroactively from today. The ilo mashve gita ad shneimasar chodesh. If on the other hand he doesn't want to get to bichal until the end of the months, lama kasav yom ksivas aget betocho. Why should he write the exact date of the get in the get? Lichtov imlo basi lerosh chodesh ploni yehe get. Rabbi, I think he's answering your question, Rashi. He's saying, right. Why write the earlier date? He should write the later date. Right. You know, when is the cutoff point when the get is chal? So the answer is, he wrote the earlier date because he wants to get to be chal, my friend. This is the sheet of the Rabbi Seinu. He tiru ali nase, says Rashi, below chalitza. What does it mean, he tiru ali nase? If the get is valid, then of course she can get married. No, the answer is, she doesn't need chalitza, lahi imlo basi, in that case of imlo basi. What did the Rabbi Seinu hold? Zmano shall get mochiach alav, lo lechinov nichtav, zmano litocho. He didn't just waste his time, stamazoyan wrote the zman. In Lolo Diaf, not to teach us, to demonstrate, Shemiyomak Siva Vamasira, Hu Megarsha, he wants the get to be chal from the moment he gave her the get. Im lo yavo liosus man, if indeed he's mekayim the tnai hilchach avagav the lokasuv, even though he doesn't say in the get itself zegitech me'ayom, he didn't add me'ayom, Imlo Basi, Kemanda Kosa Mehayom Domi, it's equal to writing Mehayom. Ubibabasra Omer Ab Yosi. And this shita is explicitly formulated by and attributed to Rabbi Yossi, the Snana Kosim Nechosim Libonov. Sarech Sheyichtov Me'ayom, Uliachar Misim Lo Kosim Me'ayom, Eino Maton, Rabbi Yossi Omer Eino Tzarech. When a man gives away his possessions before he dies, and he decides to give one particular son a major gift, right, because otherwise the Yerusha will be divided up equally. He wants to specify this son. So the Tanakhama says he's got to write the word Mehayom, that the gift is valid now, today. Because otherwise, the gift will be valid after he dies, and that's not a gift. Now Yerusha takes over. Says Rabbi Yossi, he doesn't have to write the word Mehayom. All he has to do is write the date in the shtar. Once he delivers a shtar to his son that says, I give you the following matana, and the date is recorded in the shtar, it means that the matana is chal from that date that's recorded in the shtar. And that's why Rabbi Yossi is identical with this Rabbi Senu, that he tirul yosei, that she doesn't need chalitza, and the get is valid. The Amrinon man Rabbi Senu, Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Shmuel, Bezdin, the Sharu Mishcha. They were the Bezdin that were matir. Mishcha. Let me just double check and see if I was right about the Mishcha. Just one second. I'm just curious myself now, but okay, I don't want to. Oh, Bezdin shei tiru shemen shal akum. Fine. Okay, so I just, that's something that I remember. Okay. Good. So at this point, we have no proof for Rav. Why? Because there are two Mishnayos that say that if he died before the 12-month period, the get is invalid. And Rav wanted to derive from that the conclusion that had he been sick, had he fallen ill within the 12-month period, the get would be valid. No, the Mishnah would hold that the get is invalid even if he took ill. The reason why the Mishnah didn't mention the case of Chol is to teach you Ein Get Lachamis. So we needed two Chidushim in Ein Get Lachamis. So the Reisha and the Seif. Ella says the Gemara, I have a different proof for Rava Mi Seifa. It says in the Seifa Me Achshav Im Lo Basi. Now he wrote Me Achshav, which means the get is going to be Chal. Lemafreya Mikam Ben Yud Beis Chodesh Umes Betok Yud Beis Chodesh Hareze Get. So when is it valid? If he dies, Mes Vehu Adin Lechole. In other words, even though the reason why he didn't come is because he was dead, which is obviously circumstances beyond his control. That's an onus. Ein lecha onus gadol mizeh. Nevertheless, ein tainus onus begitten, and therefore hu adin lechola. So the Gemara says there's no proof. Dilma mes dafka. The Mishnah holds that if he was prevented from coming because of Misa, then the get is valid. But if he was prevented because of Choli, then the get would be invalid. And we would apply the principle of Yesh Tainus Onus. Why then is the get valid in the case of Misa? Delo nichale de tepel kamiyovan. The reason why he's giving a get to his wife is in case he doesn't survive this period of time, he's out there on the battlefield, she won't have a problem of getting chalitza from the yovam who is 1 year old. Okay, I'll give you that example. Which means she'd have to wait 12 years as an aguna, not marrying anyone until this young boy is old enough for chalitza. So what did he do? He gave her a get. And he wanted the get to be chal in the case that he dies, so that she wouldn't fall for yibum. That's exactly what he was doing. He was a very magnanimous, compassionate husband. There are a few around. And he wanted to prevent her from this terrible situation of chalitza, of having to require chalitza. But any chinami, if let's say he wanted to come, but he was ill, and therefore he couldn't come. In such a case, he doesn't want to get to be valid. He wants to marry this woman. He wants to remain married to this woman. And therefore, it's very possible that Yesh Tainus Onus Begitin. And the Gemara again has succeeded in playing the devil's advocate and swatting and smashing the Raya of Rava. Elamiha. Where did Rava know it from? Hahudi Amarle. A man said to his wife, Elo Asina Mikan Viatal Sinyomin. If I don't come back in the next 30 days, let this get be get. So now the Kimatnai is low bossy of 30 days. Also, Bisof Talsin Yomin. He comes on the 29th day. Upaske Mavre, and the bridge falls apart. Omar Luhu, and he screams out to the Bezdin, Chazud Asoy, see that I'm coming, see that I'm coming. Meaning, there's onus here, and I was prevented through this situation that's very much out of my control, but I really want to come, and I want to be married to this woman. And he's a Kohen. He doesn't want to get to be Chal. Omar Shmuel Lav Shmei Masya. It's not considered that he came. And therefore the get is valid. You see that ain't tainus onus begit. Now it's interesting. Until now, the Gemara tried to establish, substantiate Rava based on Mishnayos. The Gemara threw in the towel. Now it's based on a statement of Shmuel. But again, Shmuel is a first generation Amora, and Rava is much later. So Rava feels that he would like to stand on the shoulders of Shmuel. The Dilma, says the Gemara, nay, you have no proof from Shmuel. Why? Onsa de shchicha shiny, the keva di boile les nuye velo asni iu di afsid anafshe. The Gemara says, again, these are not, you know, this is not the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. You know, we're talking about the bridges in those days. There's a whole sugya in Bava Basra about taking the children from one part of the city to the other over a bridge, you know, Tashbar. And the Gemara says, you're not allowed to do that because the bridges might fall apart. Remind me later, I have a funny joke about that. In any event, the bridges weren't so secure, and this is called the Onsa de Shchich. In other words, it's quite possible, and he should have entertained this in his mind, that it might be that the bridge will break and he won't be able to come. So this smart aleck waits till the last day of the 24 days, and you know he's about to come, and the bridge falls apart, and he can't come. Again, you can imagine a million and one other scenarios that a shchicha which prevent him from coming. Like a train from Manchester to London is an onset de shchicha. Yeah.
Is this like negligence? Is this like
what we mean is that if we enter into his mindset and we ask ourselves, what did he mean? Remember the Ran said there's an umdana of his das. So what did he think about onus? So he really thought that he doesn't want to get to be chal if he can't come because of onus. But that's because of an onus that's wild, you know, that's unusual. Like you said, it's a tsunami, you know. Is that how you pronounce it? A tsunami. But if it was what? If it was an onset de shriach, then he should have, look at Rashi. Rashi says, he should have thought about it. He should have formulated his tnai in accordance with that. Just one second. That's right. Excellent. You know, there was a peacock. It kept him. Well, I don't know if you ever had the experience of flying from the East Coast to the Midwest in the winter time on one of those planes. What do they call those?
Red eye.
Not the red eye. No, you're flying from New York to Chicago, but they have these flights that leave like every hour. The Eagle flights, American Eagle. I would tell you that. In more than 50% out of 100%, they'll cancel your flight. Because I'll tell you what they do is they attract you to go American Airlines by offering so many different flights. That gets more people, more clientele. But they really don't want to fly all those planes because they're very rarely packed. So what they do is as soon as the weather forecast says that, you know, that somebody's going to sneeze and there's going to be a drop of rain, they cancel the flight. You know what I'm saying? So again, if you're in a rush, to take it from me, because I had this experience too many times when I used to recruit for Shaira Seretzion, take it from me, don't fly if you're on a tight schedule with American Eagle. Again, I might be sued for the rest of my life for saying that, but in the middle of the winter they cancel flights like it goes like it's nothing. Yeah. So that's an onsa de shchicha. So in a case of an onset de shchicha, what's the halacha? The halacha is that the get is valid, and that's exactly what Shmuel has to say here. Lav shmei masya. Lav shmei masya. Let me just read to you what he says over here. Yeah. He says, Kema di boile lesnuye velo asni. Right, this is an ones that shchiach. Is hoyel lahasnos b'shasnos sinus again? He should have said the following: if that onus, which I can already foresee, because there's a certain element of probability involved, and then I don't want to get to be chal. That's what he should have said, and he didn't say that. Is iu diafsid anafshe arehu hivsid liatzma she yochel aget becholofen afshelo ba. The after onus, avol the onus she ain't no matzui kigon chole that he was so sick that he couldn't come. Lo hayelo lahalos al daito lahasnos olav she ain't a rotsa shiachu shemen irolo onus kazeh. Is in such a case yesh tayrus onus levatlos again? He doesn't want to get to be chal. And Rabosai, as a result of this entire presentation and the shlugups back and forth, we come to the conclusion that guess what? Rava has no source whatsoever for his conclusion. Ela Rava Svara Denafshe Kama. Rava came up with a new idea, which means technically, according to logic, we have a perfect analogy between Mizonos, where there is a tainus onus that if circumstance was such that he couldn't marry her, he doesn't have to pay mizonos even after the 12 months. And the case of tainus onus begetin an imlo basimi kaviyad shoshim yom. Really, in truth, he has a right to say, I didn't have this onus in mind, and if I wasn't lobasi because of onus, that's not called lobasi, there was no kima tonight. But Rava came up with a svar denafshe, and he said the following. Mishum tznuos umishum prutzos. Which basically means, again, we're going to have a lot to discuss, this is for next week in Mitzvah Hashem, that Rava made a takana in which he invalidated the claim of onus, so that the get would absolutely and under all circumstances be chal at the end of the 12 months if he doesn't show up. And what motivated Rava to make this takana is mishum tznuos umishum prutzos. So I'll say it just quickly. The tznuos are going to say, well, he didn't show up. You know why he didn't show up? Maybe he was onus. They're not going to be willing to get married because they're always afraid that maybe the day will come, yomenam yomayim, and he'll come and he'll say, look, I was onus. So they're so nervous and so tense about onus. They're so anxious. This is what they call, in the yeshiva world, they call this nervin. I don't know if you heard it. They're so tense about it, they're not going to get married. So you know what? We're going to tell this woman that she's a tznua, that you don't have anything to worry about. If this man comes and claims he was honest, and that's why he didn't show in the last 12 months, the get is unconditional, absolute. You're okay. Don't worry about it. Then there was a worry about the prutzos, because there were situations in which the prutzos knew that he was prevented from coming, but they wanted to get married to someone else. They didn't care. So they sort of made up a story. No, he decided not to come. When they knew full well that the reason he didn't come is because of extenuating circumstances. So that Mirz Hashem will pick up next week. Okay, then? Yeah, sure.